Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187. And tonight we have Jared and Mark and me, because as usual, when she's not here, Andrew is saving lives and all that good stuff. Jared and Mark, how are you both doing tonight?
Good. Real good.
Feeling ready to tell the truth.
Great take on the world.
Get into things. You know, well, it's funny because there isn't a whole lot of stuff to really be discussing tonight. So I guess we can take more. Well, I mean, we can get there eventually, but I feel like we can just take a more broad approach to things overall and just kind of like take a step back and have a look at where we are right now with Star Wars overall.
All right.
Because, I mean, and you know, there's a lot of debate in the Star Wars fan community right now. Some people are right, some people are wrong.
We've been beating around the bush for months now at this point. I think we've been afraid to really get at the truth of the matter for fear of, like, repercussions.
I mean, because we're on the side of the community that tends to be pretty positive, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Generally.
Yeah. But I'm tired of that nonsense, to be honest.
We talked about it beforehand. I think all three of us agree, and we know Andrea agrees that it's time. Right. It's time to just tell the truth.
So just like, because there's so much that we could talk about. So just like, what is one thing that you just need to like get out of the way right now?
Oh, I am not okay. I am not a fan of anything that Disney has done since they purchased Star Wars.
Anything?
Especially, no, I'm not a fan of anything. I think it's all been mediocre garbage. I think honestly that you know, EU, God bless it, far better than anything that we've got going on now from, you know, especially from Rian and his stupid Last Jedi. Oh my God. Well, that thing was a pile of crap.
That's what we had kind of figured out before. At least we could figure out some way to salvage it. If JJ has the guts to not do what he did before, you know, and be afraid to embrace the true legacy of Star Wars and the EU, we could use the EU, in fact, to save it from the point where we're at now. Because they're not going to retcon everything. They're not going to throw in the towel. That's not how Disney does things. They don't admit to failure, even when they obviously – it's all they do. You know, it's like – look at their track record lately. But anyway, you know, they require Star Wars and Marvel to pull them up, and they instead of crapping on their legacy, they could embrace it by making the Luke that we saw in The Last Jedi, you know, Luke from the EU, and that's it's the perfect fix, because that way we could have the actual Luke has been, you know, held prisoner by Kylo this whole time, and that would explain at least why he would ever give up, you know, because
I wouldn't even say Kylo, but
oh, and Luke, we'd find out his real name, you know, is Jason.
No, Luke's held prisoner by Snoke, and you don't even realize until Snoke's dead that, you know, it's been Luke the whole time that's been hanging out with Rey, but our Luke, you know, the good Luke, he's been held captive by Snoke. And so now, you know, he's free to come back and say, hey, look, he was just a clone the whole time. The Luke is just a bad, you know, he's the bad one, but I'm here. I'm ready to save the day. And even we can even try and get Han Solo back, to be honest.
Well, and this is totally something that JJ can do if you think about it, because like with Star Trek Into Darkness, when the whole thing about Khan, he was just denying that all the time, and people were like, "No, we know like that's what you got to do, and it's what makes sense, and that's what people want." And this would be something that a lot of people, I think, would be okay with, to have Luke, you know, like the Luke that we remember from things like the original trilogy, be back in Star Wars, and to pull it off. He can deny it all he wants, but he can do it. He's done this type of thing before.
Well, how do we even get Snoke back? Or do we just want the Emperor to make a return again? Because I think that's really the best way to go. I mean, you know, imagine at this point, Emperor comes out with like the Death Star 3.
Well, I think once the Emperor comes out with his son, you know, the Triclops. We're going to bring in all the classic stuff from the EU. As Mark, you mentioned right before we started recording that Jackson is making a comeback in the Star Wars Adventures series coming out through IDW. So he's returning to canon. It's like they're already bringing stuff back. They're already tipping their hand that this is the way they're going to go because they have to know what they've given us so far is just insane.
Okay, well, I do think the way you guys are going is a little too far to the side because – you can just have someone like Thrawn come into being the new version of the Emperor, the new Snoke. Have him come out of nowhere, make his Death Star 3 because he can do it better than the first two failed ones or whatever. You know, if he wants to do a modified Death Sun, I don't care.
I don't see why you're trying to rewrite the EU yourself, Tim, right now. This both these things. Ah. We have the cloned Emperor and we have Thrawn. Like, these are not mutually exclusive.
And then, you know, what about that one? It should just be that, what was that, the Darksaber, where it's a giant lightsaber flying through space?
Yeah. Well, and I was about to say, because in line with that, whatever happened to the Hutts? There are more. We need to bring those guys into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But the one thing I miss is that I really think that we need the glove of Vader back, because that was an awesome little story about just people looking for, you know, the glove of Vader. You remember that story, Jared?
Yeah, it was a magic glove because it was Vader's.
And I know it's wrong, but I just want to smell it. I do. I mean, what do you want me to say? Even though he physically probably never choked anyone, it probably just has just some kind of just sweet, sweet, you know, scent on that glove.
Okay, I feel like you just took a dark turn.
It's the glove of Vader, man. It's one of the greatest stories ever. And to think that, you know, we're stuck with this crap that Disney's throwing our way. And the thing that bothers me the most about all of this is just that everyone is on the Disney train. You know, that stupid locomotive at Disneyland that just goes around in circles, but people seem to be happy riding in circles, doing the same stupid thing, and everyone's into it, and everyone just wants to get their little freebies from Disney and their little advanced screenings and their free books and send me an ebook. And we're not into that on this podcast. We are sick and tired of this crap. We are telling the truth, unlike all these chills out there who's just, you know, towing the Disney line, pushing their women agenda. I'm sick of it. Go back to the old ways, just Luke and Han, and not Luke.
I mean, I don't know how to follow that up. That was a pretty decent summary, I think, of what a lot of us are trying to say. I'm not going to go so far as to say that Disney has ruined my childhood, but they've certainly redefined it. You know what I mean?
But Tim, you know, have you even told anybody the truth about your night when you watched The Last Jedi? Because you're really excited, extremely excited to see your hero Luke Skywalker. And you told Jared and I off air about how hard you cried that night.
Just nonstop tears. That's I believe, the phrase he used.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think people understand how wrecked you were by it, you know. That's one of the reasons why we didn't podcast for I think a couple weeks after Last Jedi.
It sounds like a joke, but you had to go to the ER because Tim got dehydrated because he cried so much.
Okay, that's not funny. I mean, I wouldn't joke about going to like it was hard, you know.
But I understand Andrew was there when you were admitted.
I don't know.
No,
this isn't something that we go into on the air.
Fine, I know Blake will be upset, but geez.
I was going to make a point, okay? I was going to be saying that it's high time that we bring some sort of creative people into the Lucasfilm realm moving forward, whether it is books or... some of the books are... headed in the right direction. They're not there yet.
You're saying is give us Zahn or nothing.
Well, no, because he's done it already. He's done stuff. I feel like he's kind of forced to write a certain way to please the money bringer people. But
vision for the films.
I mean,
I know where you're going with this, Tim. Are we bringing back? Are we bringing back the good old days?
Well, I was gonna say it's time that you bring somebody into it who knows the extent of what we had before.
Who is it?
Well, I mean, I would at least recommend for producing. How about we take a look at Rick McCallum to be bringing in some
talent?
Oh, I thought
you were talking about books. I was ready for Kevin Anderson to come back. Oh, God.
Well, I thought you were demanding. He's a big one. Kevin J. Anderson, I think.
Yes.
He's a big one. He's got so much experience with Star Wars, and they're just throwing it away right now.
I thought McCallum you were just demanding that we get Lucas back to direct the next one.
Well, that might be attached with McCallum. I don't know if George would want to do that. Or not, but
problem is that he's sold out to Disney, and Disney's just raking in money now, you know, and God bless him, but you know, it's our franchise now. You know, you set it up, but we took the ball when you decided to be done with your movies. It was us in the EU lovers that kept it alive. And so, you know, you don't get to come back in here and ruin what we've been you know, keeping stable and healthy.
Well,
you know, those books made so much money for you. It made you probably $100,000. And this is the thanks that we get. All the books, you know.
And the thing is, they're all kind of cooped up in their Star Wars creative circle. And, you know, they all think that they have great ideas for these stories and moving forward and all that. Obviously, people aren't really happy with the new direction of Star Wars. So what they need to do is bring in normal, average fans or even big fans or something, like people like us or whatever, who are familiar with what we had before. You know, just bring us in as I don't want to say consultants, but people to just run it by, almost like a study group or something.
Like a fan quorum.
As yeah,
you might say
to
advisors.
Yeah, to someone to run it by, like a test group, and get opinions before they release this crap out to the general public, and then it's like, I don't want to say ruined, but essentially ruined after that point.
You just have to take a small, you know, like little allegiance test ahead of time to see what kind of stuff they were into to determine who's on this quorum. But I'm with you, Tim.
I mean, they could start by the us.
Simple.
I'd volunteer to do that.
do we have ultimate veto power?
Well, probably not, but if the three of us are unanimous, perhaps.
Oh.
And if they want to bring Andrea, well, then the four of us, then perhaps.
No, she's out.
Why is that?
Because, you know, we start this whole thing with, you know, I'm sorry to say it, but this whole idea of having women in Star Wars is just, you know, let's go back to the old way. We'll just have an all male podcast. Sorry.
I mean, I guess, you know, this is what are we calling it? The truth episode or something?
It's I can't anymore. It's the composition of Mark. And the fact that several times before I had either muted my mic and was cracking up, or I was just like wheezing quietly off mic, like because I've been fighting a sinus infection for about a week now, so I was which is why I was coughing last week and off mic a lot. But no, the combination of all that and staring at a giant blown up picture of Therm Scissor Punch like the whole time has not helped me fight laughter.
Yeah, no, there are several times I'm trying to like lean back and like I really hope this doesn't pick the mic doesn't pick this up.
I'm confused. What are you guys talking about?
Nice.
No, seriously.
You, feel free to say it, Mark.
Hey, what? I thought we hated Last Jedi.
I don't think anybody's buying it anymore.
I'm sorry, April Fool's I'm episode. So Where we tricked Mark.
We tricked Mark into giving us his real feelings.
You out me as a Luke lover?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, if nothing else, I think people knew. They're like, all right, this is fake. When you brought up the ER reference, that was just like too far.
and then pushing it even further that attended you. This reality. Where the East Coast is, as Mark and I assume, like about, like I don't know, 5 miles.
Well, what I'm getting to, what I'm getting is that you're admitting that I am not a robot by that ER dehydration statement.
Yeah, in our work of fiction, I tacitly admitted that you were not a robot. Wink. Okay.
So, yeah, that hey, we're here, 2187. We are a normal podcast, and we're better than normal, and we will talk about stuff now.
What do we have to talk about besides scissor fists?
Not a lot. Well, one thing I did want to bring up was I saw an article today talking about the petition online, and I know this has been a discussion, have Carrie Fisher, or I should say Princess Leia, recast for episode 9 and have them cast Meryl Streep in her place.
I'm over Meryl Streep.
I like Meryl Streep. I'm not even against them entirely. Like on some level, I'm against them recasting. On another level, I'm not, because she's, you know, an actress and is a part, and the character's going to live on eventually anyway. It's going to happen. So I don't know. I can see arguments for and against for sure, but I don't feel like any of that is something I need to worry about. they can take care of that.
Well, okay, so
that's not my decision.
They're pretty much just two things for me. Number one, at this point, don't go that far. I feel like that's going too far with the character, because the way that Last Jedi ended, and with the kind of handoff ish from Leia to Poe and all that kind of stuff, like if you're ever going to need to move on from a character, this is a good moment for her, even though I know there's gonna be a lot of episode 9 stuff for her too, but you can do it. And the other thing is Meryl Streep. I mean, it's gotten to the point where when she's in a movie, she's not the character, it's Meryl Streep in a costume acting out a role. And I'm not saying that she's not good, that there's a reason that she's always she's getting good. These roles, but It's like George Clooney is a similar thing. It's not a character. It's George Clooney in a costume playing a role. Same thing for Meryl Streep. And so if they try to cast her as Leia, it's not going to be Princess Leia. It's going to be Meryl Streep in Star Wars.
Well, I think someone disagrees with you extensively, Mark, and I think she's the greatest actress ever, for me, which I wouldn't go that far, even though I don't think she's like bad. I do think she would suffer from a great deal of things that you were talking about with, you know, using George Clooney as an example, like which would extend to a lot of other actors, and even more so. It's like there are actors who are either called to not have a lot of range in how they're directed and how they're cast, and there are actors who are just so recognizable. The combination of those two factors, it's like, yeah, I'm not a part of any fan casting petition. It's like not about setting something right that's totally screwed up, like casting, you know, an Asian character as a white actor, explicitly. To me, that's something that I don't think is really cool. But
can we cast an Asian man as Leia?
Again, I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
I don't think any recasting makes any sense.
No, and if they want to go that route and they choose, Meryl Streep or anybody, I have faith in them to some extent. I mean, I'm not 100% on board with every decision they've made by any means, but I also don't think they're I don't think they're going to cast somebody bonkers. I don't think it's going to be David Koechner, the guy who played Champ and Anchorman, the sports guy. Like if that happened, I'd be like, okay, guys, We got to do a fan petition and get Kathleen Kennedy fired, because that would be insane. But no, I'm not against anyone who feels they have to do that or whatever. But it feels really weird and oddly specific, like recast her and make her Meryl Streep. It's like that's literally just fan casting. This is just making that into a petition. Feels like a misinterpretation of what petitions are for.
I wouldn't even say it's fan casting. It almost feels like who's a famous older white lady actress? Meryl Streep.
Angelica Houston? I don't know.
you didn't go down any layers. You just went to the one that she's on the Oscars a lot. I'm gonna just say for her.
That's a good one.
While we're on the subject of Meryl Streep, I don't know if I've ever seen a full Meryl Streep film. Maybe Kramer versus Kramer. Long time ago.
I haven't seen any in a long time.
Well, I was saying the bright side of it all would be that maybe finally a Star Wars acting thing would get an Oscar nomination, because she'd have to.
I'd rather be Glenn Close, to be honest. I love Glenn Close.
Oh, Glenn Close is really good. Like, she's good in everything, right?
Can I say that would be my cheat? Is that wrong?
You know who's really weird to me that just popped into my head?
My wife gave me a hall pass. That would be it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know what's weird to me that it popped in my head to recast would be Joan Allen.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's weird, but I don't think it's like bad, right?
No. But again, you know, I would rather be almost somebody that we're not familiar with.
Well, that's what I was thinking, of someone who's like not in stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Like Joan Allen's a good actress, but I haven't really seen her in anything off the top of my head since like 2000 probably. And like the most recent thing I can think of is like Face Off, and that's like 1995. Like, you know what I mean? Like what if
we cast Karen Allen? Karen Allen as Leia.
Okay.
And then we do have to bring Harrison Ford back, and then we have many crossovers.
Yes.
Well, not many, just another one. But
so when are we going to get to the big news? Is how we segue into Thurm Scissor Punch?
Well, I was going to say one last thing about this from Rian Johnson's perspective is he mentioned that they had considered rewriting parts of Episode 8 because of Gary's passing. So he didn't do it because he was looking at it and he was like, you know, this is good as it is. This is I don't remember if he said perfect or not, but he was like, this is a good way to do it. So I just don't see why it's necessary.
Writing her out and losing that reunion between her and Luke wouldn't have been worth it to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it wouldn't have been satisfying. Like, it'd be different if they had a cut where, like, she did something awesome. You know, people said stuff like, why couldn't they just have her sacrifice herself? It's like, so you're basically saying you wish they would have already done CGI Leia. You know, like, which is fine, but then why are you not okay with CGI Leia now?
Because they would have had to have done that for 8.
Exactly. Right. So it's basically just saying, I'm just saying it's a really crappy situation, and this is one where I can't backseat drive or Monday morning quarterback it. I can't say ahead of time, oh, well, they should do this, because there isn't an easy answer. This is a crappy situation that was decided by fate, not poor decision-making on a filmmaker's part, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be more difficult and forced to have to try to recast her than to do it more organically, which is what they're probably going to do at this point.
Oh, organic. I get it.
Oh, I didn't even get that. That was great. I'm really proud of myself right now.
You should be.
I mean, I didn't do it on purpose, but that was good.
I don't even know. I mean, I do, but I also... I don't know about it.
Now, speaking of organic, that is a good segue to Thurm
Scissor Ass.
Thurm who, Mark?
Scissor Fist.
Nope.
Yeah, that's no, he's got it.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
He is.
Thurm Scissor Hands. He's cousins of Edward Scissor. We already went over this.
Scissor Hand. Yes. His cousin's Edward Scissorhands.
Remember? Okay, cut to Edward Scissorhands. Vincent Price is making cookies, and he wants to make a real boy, and he makes Edward Scissorhands. What if once he was making lobster? Boom. Lobster Thermidor becomes Thurm Scissor Punch. I figured it out. Bam.
And we have another crossover.
Edward Scissorhands is part of the shared Star Wars universe. I always knew it.
Quick question. Is there any chance whatsoever that they're saving Boba Fett for some reveal?
But if so, it's gonna be like Evazan level in Rogue One. You know, like there's no way it's a big part.
It'll be what level?
Like Evazan appearing in Rogue One.
But we didn't even know about Tarkin really.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't really look into it a whole lot, right?
Do we even know what the main villain looks like yet at this point?
I'm pretty sure it's the one that looks cool, like it's like a Mad Max Power Rangers stormtrooper guy.
Yeah, but I thought he was just like an average side villain.
Yeah, you might be right, but I kind of got the impression that was the bad guy in this. But it's also I also have no idea what this is about other than young Han Solo. I don't know the specifics, so.
Oh, what if Lando's the bad guy?
Eh.
I mean, that works on some level. It could be their falling out.
It would be kind of cool. On a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but he can't be the main bad guy of this series because that's too, like we know how it turns out.
But they could not have a big bad. They could have a minor bad, and at the end, Lando squelches on a deal or double crosses him and leaves him in a lurch, and he takes the Falcon as a payment and runs off, and that's their falling out. Like you could do it without him being a big bad guy, evil bad guy, and still have it end on them falling out. Have it be a nemesis like conclusion to a rivalry like friendship in that chapter of their lives. I mean, don't know.
They could, but they're saying that this is supposed to be just a pure fun summer movie kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
but
that doesn't
fun,
match that.
Why not? Why can't it be if it's in good spirits, if it's like the end of Maverick, you know, when they're constantly double crossing each other, or the end of Jumper even, where they were religious zealots murdering them at the same time for some reason at the end, Samuel Jackson winks and smiles and goes, "That Jumper, he got away from me. Another day, I guess." Like
what?
He gives like an aw shucks, like shakes his head, like it's like a weird. Like he resigns himself to being the coyote, always missing the Roadrunner.
It was
kind of
weird.
In the case of Hayden Christensen, he's like, that kid, I like him. We've been hanging out since 2003. I've actually been thinking a lot about Edward Scissorhands. Mark brought him up with Therm Scissor Punch lately. This is my tangent for the evening. This is my segment. I'm going to make it a segment now. I watched the second season of Series of Unfortunate Events, which is a children's book that I read with my niece and nephew a little bit and with students when I taught, because it was still coming out at the time. And it's a really high quality kids book, and really dark and weird. And it has all sorts of stuff that we wish was in kids stuff that we talked about from the beginning of Rebels. Like, people die all the time, constantly. Everyone these kids love dies, which is just, it's really well done. But all the design is done by Bo Welch, by the guy who did the production design for, and he also directs and does a bunch, he's the executive producer on the movie, but he's the guy who did the design for Edward Scissorhands. And that thing like had a super formative effect on me as a kid. Like, I think every bit of me that doesn't like the idea of conforming or homeowners associations or like country clubs, it's like got this weird hang up about that part of culture, comes from that movie because of the way that they did this kind of surreal world where it was like a cookie cutter universe of like everything like had this weird plastic sheen in the suburb world and all these pastel colors. I hated it. Like it, and it also just feels really Easter appropriate because it's a looked like Easter threw up on that neighborhood and yes. Edward Scissorhands. But again, Therm Scissor Punch or whatever is pretty rad. Why are people down on him? I don't get it.
I didn't see people down on him. Did they?
I thought that was the impression I got, that maybe people thought he was too silly or something.
Not Star Wars fans. It's the outside critiques.
Because even just like Slash Film was like, no, seriously.
Oh yeah.
We've talked about this a long time ago. And I don't know if Tim echoed this because this is more of Jared's in my alley, but if these are anything like campy, like the old Marvel comics, then I'm fine with that. Jared's fine with that. That stuff is fun.
That's just like Ragnarok / Guardians of the Galaxy. That's just like a four color pop, you know,
yes.
Fun, funky, you know, weird space adventure with jokes and with lightheartedness and heroes and bigger than life bad guys and some moral ambiguity. You know, all this stuff is in there, but like at the same time, it's not a heady thing that takes itself seriously at all. Like I love Star Wars, and as much as I think us fans shouldn't take ourselves seriously, I like that in the movies, even though they joke, that the world that they have in those saga films is pretty self-serious to a certain extent. Like, they don't take themselves too seriously. It's not constant, you know, wallowing in how serious it all is. But, it's a space opera. It's a fairy tale. It's like, it is the fate of the universe, and the good and evil hangs in the balance. But Han Solo shouldn't be like that, I think. It should be lighthearted and fun and You know, it shouldn't have any problem joking about itself.
Well, and here's another thing. What are the chances we even hear this guy's name mentioned in the movie? Or maybe just a first name or something. I mean, who knows? He could be the Constable Zuvio of this.
Why are you setting him up to be Zuvio? Why, Tim? I mean, we need him to be the hero, unsung hero of this movie.
Well, you know, and the other thing is if you start looking at some of the visual dictionaries or whatever, and some of those names in there and their backstories are crazy.
Right.
I just think this happens.
All the guys from Rogue One, right? All the background
people. What is it? The decranianated, where they have no skull.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. they were nuts.
And there's the one guy out there who's missing his skull, but I think he's a bounty hunter who's mad at Dr. Evazan for doing this to all of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, that's fun. We'll never see these people again, but you know, this is cool. So the name might be stupid or jokey or the greatest name ever, depending on what you are, but which way you fall. But I doubt they're gonna be like, oh my god, look,
it might be jokey.
In addition to the name Scissor Punch, his name is Therm after Lobster Thermidor, and it's a huge joke. Also, Scissor Punch, as silly as it is a classic Star Wars name. It is a thing verb. It is a Skywalker.
Oh yeah, Skywalker. Yeah.
I'm super into Scissor Punch. It's silly, but it works.
And we're even used to the on the nose sort of names. You know, with Ackbar, Ackbar's race was what, the Mon
calamari,
right.
And
delicious squid.
even in Clone Wars, instead of Charlie the Tuna, it was like King Lee Char or whatever. So you know, it's just what Star Wars does.
I think I missed that one. I think I forgot.
Yeah, instead of Charlie, it's Lee Char.
Oh, that's perfect.
And so this is nothing, you know, whether your bag is the original trilogy or the new stuff or the
expanded
sequels.
Universe.
Yeah, they're having fun. So, you know, if this is bothering you, then just shut off your phone now.
I just want to know if there are two E's in Therm, because if so, he has a clone.
No, it's just one, according to the card.
No, I mean, I know, but I'm saying, does he have, like, another one that shows up next to him at some point? And he's like, this is my clone, Therm.
Here's hoping. We can only hope.
So, well, that's about it as far as stuff to get to.
No, there's other stuff, Tim.
Not really.
Sure, there was the suggestion from John Boyega that... Or is it Finn and Rey will not be separated in this film?
Yeah, but their story will be parallel, or they'll be together instead of being split apart again. Which is cool to hear.
Which honestly, in some ways, doesn't necessarily bode well for Rose.
True.
It depends. I feel like, you know.
I honestly think that she would be great on the Poe side. I mean, I don't know if some. Or looking for her to be like.
I think you're right as far as in the actual story goes. I think that would make a lot of sense. But I'm also thinking of it in terms of like, let's say there's all sorts of, you know, I'm thinking of it just in a pairing perspective, like, you know, Chewie and Leia and Han are pretty much after the opening sequence are pretty much together throughout Return of the Jedi, you know, all three of them. Nothing to say, couldn't be the same type of situation.
And like I feel like Rey and Poe should have some sort of storyline together in the future, considering
since they've never had any.
Well, not only that, and considering that they would, I think they'd be a great character pairing, and they had that introduction at the end that Ryan didn't just throw in there for no reason. At the very end.
No, I just threw it in because people are like, hey, wait, they never really met.
I think it was that. I think it was that they've never met at all, except for in the book, which, again, now is undermined by that scene. And also, I think it was a bit, like, tonally with as like a little bit of a bookend to her arc for the movie. Because he said, I know who you are.
Right.
Like, it's like there's no question who she is anymore. She knows. Right. Everybody knows.
I mean,
she exudes who she is. Well, I get what you're saying, but like, I also don't think that necessarily means anything, because he also didn't know JJ was going to direct it necessarily when he made any of that stuff. Like, how could anyone know ahead of time how things were going to shake out? I think I would like to see Poe and Rey interact at all and have an arc. And I would also really like to see Rey interact with Rose, because we have precious little, like, so far I feel like outside of the shows, just in the movies, as far as friendships between women, we've now had Holdo and Leia, and then Holdo died. and now Leia's leaving. So it's like, and maybe a little bit of what Dorme and Padme.
Was that your British self there for a second?
I don't think so. But it's also while she's dying. Like, right? While Dorme is dying. Like, so it's another one. Again, the only time we see friendship so far with women between women in the movies, one of them is dying imminently. So maybe let them be friends and have an arc together.
I don't think you start that in the third film, though. Yeah. I mean, you could, but
Lando joined up with everybody in the after being introduced, and then kind of gradually, and then joined the rest
really
of the
group. Was he really palling around with anybody
other than Nine Numb, no. But that guy survived. Yeah.
Well, and here's another. It's an interesting.
Jedi's basically like, hey, I'm out. I'm over here.
Well, episode... he's in that scene at the end. And he was integral in the undercover mission to save Han.
Sure.
Go on, Tim.
No, I was going to say, episode 9 is going to be an interesting character dynamic movie anyway, because with the implications from Kathleen Kennedy that we're going to see these characters back in the episode 10 or whatever moving forward, it's obviously not set in stone yet, but you do have the potential to continue their story. Like, you don't have to wrap up their interactions in episode 9. There can be future arcs together and future things that they do.
Kathleen Kennedy even said that.
Yeah, they're not going
to. So you're right.
They're not going to tie it all off here. So let's just say that it is just like Rey and Finn together for all of episode 9. She doesn't even see Poe in episode 9. Maybe that they'll do that in episode 10. Like, who knows?
Hey, before the subject goes away, can I just say that Lando's introduction in Return of the Jedi is one of the greatest like introductions ever that would never take place in real life?
In Return?
Yeah, because it's like, the camera slowly zooms in on his face while he just kind of reveals that he's. Hey,
oh, when he takes off the mask for no reason.
Yeah, he's a little bit like, this is Lando in disguise, y'all. It's just like, you would never do that, Lando. In real life, you wouldn't do that. But you know,
maybe he just needed to breathe. On.
It's great, though. It's the beauty of movies, because there's always like, you know, this is the hero introduction or this is the hero shot, and Lando's just like, So you, in case you don't know, it's me, Lando. But if it was really him in Jabba's palace, he's trying to, maintain secrecy, he'd be like, I'm not pulling that. I'm gonna stay, covered up. Gotta save my friends.
No, you're absolutely right. That's like that's one of those moments. It's like, in the same exact vein, two characters will bump into one another. Let's say in a movie or TV show, Han runs into Leia, and they don't even necessarily, they'll usually both pull up their masks a little bit or pull down. But even if they didn't, they will be right, they'll be 2 feet away from someone who cannot know what their secret mission is, and they will talk about it audibly right next to them with no effort to quiet down. It's like, I'm turning my head so no one can hear me tell you this sensitive information. Like, it's the same exact thing. And yeah, no, that happens all the time. that's a total movie, like, weird, unnecessary wink. Because, like, if they just zoomed in, I think, on his eyes, like, I don't know, we could have told. Or just wait, for, zoom in and then on his eyes and just give the reveal in a few minutes, and it'll still be rad,
And this is still the George Lucas Star Wars that really wasn't supposed to be all that serious. It was supposed to be Saturday morning cartoon that was fun and not super, super realistic in that way. And so, like Mark was saying, that's just a fun thing to do for, like, a hero reveal,
Oh, yeah, it's not a big deal.
You think about Jedi, and everybody gets their screen time, and, like, the band's getting back together, so to speak. It's like, the pieces all slowly get in the same spot on the board, and just look at badass Luke, when he's does his little flip and all that. He could have just stood right there and waited for the lightsaber to come and land in his arm. He didn't have to do this. Let me just jump off on the plank, spin up in the air, you know. It's just everybody has their little moment, and it's great. You know, I love movie stuff like that.
Even yeah. Wedge, they try to give like a little shout out to, and then at the end, you know, he's with Lando and everyone else at the Ewok party, you know, and he's like, "Hey, I'm part of the group now."
Because it kind of, but that kind of gives you something to cheer for, you know.
Did Wedge? Okay, is there money on whether Wedge got drunk and slept with an Ewok?
No, there's not.
Because if they're comfort Ewoks in Aftermath, how far does that go?
I still I stand by that is a mistranslation, and they are not therapy Ewoks. They are Ewok therapists. These people have a religion. Like, they are not savage animals. They are a culture. Like it's just like any other species in the Star Wars universe. And I believe that he did sleep with his Ewok therapist. Maybe they had an inappropriate
You literally lay on the couch and look over, and there's like Wicket with his legs crossed. Like,
yes,
and
like the glasses on the nose.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. The glasses pushed down the bridge of his nose, tapping his thing, and he's like, "What do I do, Doc?" And he's like, "Can you tell me what do you think you should do?" And of course, it's all translated by C-3PO, so it sounds a little smart alecky, but it also sounds a little bit like it's being told by, like, you know, Niles Crane. So it seems sort of right.
There we go.
Can we get David Hyde Pierce to do the voiceover for 3PO for that scene?
I think we just need to get him to replace Anthony Daniels. Eventually. I think that's a pretty good replacement.
Actually
British, one's fake British, but Anthony Daniels at this point, he kind of sounds like he's like Frasier or Niles, like he's the erudite, snooty white American dude who's pretending to be sort of British. The Paltrow affect.
You know, honestly, he really would not be a bad replacement in like an alternate reality or something. Like David Hyde Pierce could kind of pull that off.
I do like though we're recasting the one guy who was in the 80s cartoon, who was in the Clone Wars. The one guy who's never been recast, who holds on to this role with a death grip. It's like, I will go to every convention for the rest of my life. Like, we're like, hey, let's just recast someone else who's like pushing 60. Like who's like not a young, or it's like probably over 60 at this point. Like someone who's not a young man anymore. Like, it's like, let's recast someone who might be retired soon.
You know, here's what's sad. In hindsight, you know, we're talking about C-3PO and all that, is that really the person who's got the biggest shaft in the sequel trilogy is R2.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I mean, he's arguably the face, you know, one of the biggest faces of Star Wars ever. And he's really got nothing to do in, well... Here, let me show you the piece. He's what, the MacGuffin? What are they? I don't know if he's considered the MacGuffin in Force Awakens, but
I think, you
know,
I think
or the Deus Ex Machina. Look what I have inside me, the secret. You know, he's got that. And then what does he do? You know, he's got such a great moment though, in Last Jedi. I guess it's forgivable, but other than that, that's pretty much it.
You know,
his Leia hologram moment was fantastic, but still, not much else. Poor guy, I miss him.
No, I'm completely with you. It's been a bummer for me as a big R2 fan, and it just feels like, I don't know. Until Last Jedi, I really didn't like BB-8 that much because it felt like, come on, dude, like they're just shoving him in my face, you know, and not giving me any R2 and. You know, I agree that the moment is good in Last Jedi, but he went from being a guy who literally was integral in solving the plot, but wasn't a Deus Ex Machina, wasn't a MacGuffin, but was just – he was the driving force of the story in the original saga. And now he's like a side character. So it's kind of a bummer.
Well, BB-8 really turned into me like just a lovable puppy.
Absolutely.
He's like, just like got enthusiasm, and he's like, you know, he's always looking for sort of like affirmation, and he's there when you need him. And he almost mirrors in a way, I think, the R2-D2 that we saw in Revenge of the Sith, especially in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Where he's there, he's got your back. Look, you may not know what needs to be done, But R2 does. And no, I think BB-8
the proactive droid, like, yes. side adventure stuff. Yeah.
Yes. He's definitely that character, and I think he's good at it. But again, you know, I don't see where we're going to see... I don't see how R2-D2 or like I said before, even C-3PO is going to be able to bond to any of these new characters. Possibly C-3PO and Poe. If Poe's more of a general now than a fighter pilot. But other than that, I don't see Rey and R2 unless Chewie takes R2. You know what I mean? And then he's just part of the ship. He's part of Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I could see him staying with Chewie, actually. That sort of makes the most sense to me.
In hanging a weird around way. Fixing electrical fires on the Falcon.
Well, if BB-8 goes, because now BB-8 is that's something I didn't notice before, but I like it. And in a way, it makes him kind of the successor to R2. But he is a community droid. He's Poe's droid, but he was raised in, you know, The Force Awakens, and in The Last Jedi, he's not either of those guys. He's Finn's and Rose's. And he gets reunited with Poe both times, but he's kind of like he is. He's like this. He's not just a dog. He's like a super friendly dog. Like he's Lassie. He's getting into all these adventures. We said it before. Andrea disagreed with us after being the first one to say he was a dog, then immediately going backward to agree with Blake and disagree with us. Yeah, I said it. but once she'd convinced us, and yet I'm the one who throws under the bus.
No, but you're right, though, because about the Chewie and R2, though, because who else? Like, Chewie's the only one left at this point. You know, who else would R2, like, go back to, so to speak?
But if the Falcon is now sort of both Chewie and Rey's,
would
maybe be both of theirs?
Yeah, but I feel like take Chewie out of the picture, and, like, he might go back to Rey because of the Falcon, but like I don't know, just it makes the most sense, like you had said, process of elimination.
You know, my favorite pairings are probably what happens in Empire Strikes Back. I obviously like R2 with Luke, and I think just the whole C-3PO, Leia, Chewbacca, Han Solo on the Millennium Falcon grouping is fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, you don't see those type of like pairings, and I don't think in any other movie of that quality. You know, obviously Jedi doesn't have it like that. Star Wars has, you know, the big group in the beginning, but overall, I just love those groupings.
Well, I do want to mention that, Mark, something you've said before is that occasionally it might be good to do things to, you know, kind of familiarize yourself with people who listen to us and the other way around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and at the end, StarWars.com is going to tell me which Star Wars character you are.
Oh, good Lord, okay.
So, number one is, what is your ideal day?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you.
Okay, go.
So yeah, what is your ideal day? Going for a drive with the windows down, hanging out with a friend you haven't seen in a while, making some cash any way possible, staying in with your pet and a book.
A variation on four, staying in with your pet and a book.
Okay. Which is your favorite accessory? Would that be a scarf, earrings, hat, or a jacket?
Hat.
Which Star Wars pet would you prefer? Porg, Vulptex, Fathier, or I'd rather have a droid?
I'd rather have a droid.
Which weapon would you use? A blaster, bowcaster, lightsaber, or staff?
Lightsaber.
Which is your favorite color? Red, purple, orange, or black?
Red.
Where would you most like to go out to eat? Fast food, fancy restaurant, barbecue, or I'd rather cook at home?
Ooh, barbecue.
What's your favorite genre of movie? Romance, action, adventure, or horror?
Of all those, action.
All right. What is your favorite winter activity? Snow sports, sledding, drinking cocoa, or spending time with family?
We don't really have winter here in California, but I'm going to say drinking cocoa.
All right.
I mean, actually, that's fine. It's any one of those that doesn't involve snow.
Which word best describes you? Fiery, lovable, determined, or resilient?
I'm lovable.
Okay, and this last one. Which gift would you most like to receive? Something shiny and valuable, something practical, a day to meditate, or hair products?
None of those. A day to meditate.
Okay, well, according to StarWars.com, oh, really?
Who am I?
You're Luke Skywalker.
I'm not, so not.
I know, right? No, it says, like the little like text says, like the legendary Jedi, you are strong and capable, but prefer to keep to yourself. If you had it your way, you'd spend your days in a cave meditating, but when others need your help, you'll always do what's right. Congratulations, you're the courageous yet mysterious hero, Luke Skywalker.
I don't want to be Luke Skywalker. I'd rather be Luke Skywalker.
Well, can't help you there, but...
I guess.
So, like I said, I figured, you know, there's some question-answer things that we can do.
We need to get one for Jared next weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we should do, like, the same thing or a different quiz or what.
I'm down to do a quiz.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that and see.
Whatever it is, I'm actually Lobot because I usually have my headphones on. And I have a tragic backstory.
Are we wrapping it up, Tim?
Yeah, I'd say we are.
Okay, well, let me ask on the way out, did you guys do anything exciting over the weekend? Did you see any movies? Did you watch anything that you'd like to recommend?
Well, I can tell you that I have not yet, but I am on Wednesday going to be seeing Ready Player One.
Tim, it's so good.
I know it is. That's why I have to see it. Like, I don't know anything. I know some things about it, but not really. Like, I haven't, like, looked into any spoilers or anything. So I'm not on that side of things, but I know enough of just overall hype and reviews to know that I'm going to like it.
It seems like largely positive reviews. I've seen less people who've actually seen it who've been as down on it. I mean, I've seen a few mixed reviews, but for the most part, it has been extremely positive. So
it seems like from the people that I talked to that I think the marketing has done an absolutely horrible job.
I do not disagree with you, because to me, it just seemed like, I don't know, it didn't do anything to like change my reservations about it, but I've been very neutral about it. Like, we talked at length last week where I feel like I've heard enough mixed things that for me, like, I really don't know what to believe. So I'm going into it pretty blank, like without a lot of like huge interest, but without any negativity either. So I'll see it at some point. Maybe I'll make time to see it in the theater, just because I do have a pretty cheap theater close by.
I would.
Because I got sick, I still haven't seen Pacific Rim 2 yet. I want to see that a little more, you know?
I get that. Well, see, like my son, for example, you know, I told him, I said, hey, I want to go see Pacific Rim. And he's like, oh, what is that? And I go, it's got John Boyega. He goes, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So this one, I'm like, hey, tomorrow we're going to go see Ready Player One. And he's like, okay.
He said, come on. He wasn't going to do it without
– No, I said, you want to see it? And he's like, not really. I said, okay, well, let me try and tell you what it's about. And so he listens and he's like, okay, I'll go with you. And so then we go, and you know, I bring my oldest son as well. And so it was a really nice Easter with just the three of us. And, you know, we get out afterwards, and I'm like, what do you think? He goes, it's like top three films of all time for me. Everything's top three for him.
I love that.
And so it's like, okay, great. He goes, are you going to get it on Blu-ray? I'm like, yeah, I probably will. He goes, well, great.
Wait, how old is your son? 18, 19?
My youngest is 15.
Oh, which one are you talking about, your youngest?
I'm talking about my 15-year-old that said that. And my 21-year-old loved it.
Oh, 21. You mentioned that recently.
And the great thing about all of it is that there's things that I'm just, oh, look at that.
And he doesn't appreciate any of that stuff.
Yeah, it works on many levels. There's some such throwaway, like, things that, you know, I'll describe without spoiling it. There's a weapon that's used at one point. And it's like, oh, no, really? And I'm trying to explain what it is to my kids afterwards. They're like, okay.
Is it?
After
it's over, Tim can plug his ears and you can tell me.
I can tell you now.
I don't want to spoil it, Tim.
I don't care about that.
All right. Do we want to spoil it for people? I'm sure anyone who wanted to see it saw it. Anyone who doesn't care.
Yeah, look, everyone. Once I say what I got jazzed over, everybody's gonna be like, I don't even remember that movie.
What is it?
It's the weapon from Kroll.
I swear to God, I was like, I was not thinking Kroll at all until you said no one will even remember that movie. And then the first thing I thought was, this has got to be Kroll. Like, I don't know why, but I knew that's what you were gonna say. I knew it. Before that, I was like, what are we talking about? Like, are we talking about like the Sword of Omens from Thundercats? Like, I'm like, what is this? What is this going to be? I was sure it would be something I knew, but that Tim wouldn't. and that is awesome. That is so great. That
makes right. me so and it's literally, it could have been anything. It could have been like a shuriken. It could have, or, you know, what is it? Throwing star. It could have been anything. And instead, it comes out and I was like, oh, oh,
starfish thing, right? Like, it looks kind of like a starfish.
But, yeah, it's just little stuff curved. Like that. It's like it doesn't ruin it or take it away from anybody who has no idea what it is, but it has that little added oomph for people that, you know, remember that. You know, and I tweeted about it yesterday. You know, yesterday, I know a lot of people complain about nostalgia lately, but did you get a chance to see, what is it, Scooby Natural, Jared?
I did. That made me right? like the day that I had my prescription in, but was waiting for it to be filled the next morning for my antibiotics. And I just had like a pounding sinus infection in my skull. Like, it was just an awful, awful headache that made me extremely happy, even though I had this like awful right. headache, couldn't sleep. I was giggling. Like, it was
the whole time
so
you're watching it. I know you're probably like me. Just had a giant grin on your face. Like, yes. You're waiting for the musical interlude, and it comes on. You know, to where they're all running around, and
I mean, I know you love it as much as I did, but just knowing that it would be the same to me, to my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece, and my nephew, when they got a chance to see it, makes me like really happy as well, because they love Supernatural. My nephew doesn't love it, just where it exists, but doesn't love it because he's 9. But he loves Scooby-Doo, and everybody else does too. And Scooby was like a huge deal to us when he was growing up, when I was his nanny, and like it felt like it was like a love letter to us. And no, the whole and like you said, the whole thing was just fun. It was just like everything about it, and it was actually a pretty good episode of Supernatural, which
it was.
I mean, you and I both still like that show, and we'll, you know, I'm just amazed that it's still good after 13 years, because I mean, it shouldn't be. Shows like that don't usually have that long and actually maintain. And it's had like halves of seasons, you know, and middles of seasons where they've kind of meandered and tried to figure out where they were going, I think. But they've always corrected course. The first five are solid and they had a plan, and everything since then has been really good, you know, as a solid almost 8 full seasons. It's been excellent. And they just got renewed again, confirming my theory that they will never be allowed to cut their hair any other way other than how the CW tells them they will ever again. And I love it. But there's no way they thought that crap. There's no Jared Padalecki, he's my age. And there's no way, like, when we were just out of college, he's like, yeah, this is the last job I'll ever have. There's no way. Like, he's already on Gilmore Girls before that. He's already on a CW show or WB back then.
Like, yeah, he was probably like
a couple
like,
years tops.
Both of them were in horror movies that actually did phenomenally well.
House of Wax for Padalecki, right?
No, also My Bloody Valentine.
Come on, right?
For Ackles, I think, and then the Friday the 13th remake. And neither one got sequels, so they're like, damn, we're just stuck supernatural. But if you see them, you know, when you see them doing pictures and all that with the fans, it looks like they have a great time.
And now they both like are producers, and I think maybe Jared started to direct stuff too. But I know Jensen Ackles has started to actually like direct several episodes and other shows too. I think at CW, but it's like it's just become this weird career for them. And the way residuals work and networks, it's a standard contract for the actors unions. Every single year that someone is in the main cast, they are legally obligated to increase their salaries by like a certain percent. Okay. So like at 14 years, they've got to be extremely well paid for what they do. And that's just like awesome. That's the life, man. And again, both of them have been on CW shows. Because Ackles had a long career, like throughout his teenage years, I think in daytime television and soap operas. But then he was in Smallville for a season. He was like the high school assistant football coach, sleeping with Kristen Kreuk's character, with Lana Lang, like who was like a 17 or 18 year old high school senior, but he was literally a school staff member. I know he wasn't her teacher, but I was in college going to school for education at the time, and I was just like, no. No, that guy would be fired, arrested. Like there's no way you could just openly date someone who goes to the school you work at. It's like, yeah. Like, it's like, no, man.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But see, and here's the thing that I was trying to get at initially. It is your joy at watching that, and the joy, you know, that I had, and the joy that you know that your family's going to have, is nostalgia. You know, Ready Player One, the joy that I got from it is just the nostalgia of it. And yeah, there's some a-holes out there who use their nostalgia to, you know, crap on anything new that doesn't fit with their perception of it. And I get that, but there's going to be a-holes everywhere crapping on things. But I don't want to discount anything just because it's nostalgic. You know, I think, you know, as long as it's good and as long as it's solid, there's definitely room for nostalgia, and it makes you feel great sometimes just thinking about it. You know, I always look at Star Wars in general, and that we're living, we love Star Wars because of nostalgia in some cases. You know, we see it through a positive aspect. The you know, one of the questions was, you know, I think it was Looking for Leia was tweeting out about, you know, is there any woman who's been important in your life that introduced you to Star Wars? And man, Star Wars was my mom. Everything about Star Wars was my mom. My mom was the one who got me my first action figures. My mom was the one who took me to see, you know, A New Hope when it came back in the theaters with the special preview for Empire Strikes Back. My mom was the one when we went on Space Mountain and I was a little scared. She's like, let's pretend that we're Han Solo and Princess Leia and we're on the Millennium Falcon, you know? My mom was the one who I'm like, Mom, you know, this is probably the last Star Wars movie. It's Revenge of the Sith. Will you come out to a midnight show with me and see it? And it's just me and my mom, you know, waiting in line for Revenge of the Sith. And, you know, that's me looking back. That's nostalgic. I have good feelings about things because of what it means to me, and I don't want to just discount everything because, you know, nostalgia is horrible, but that seems to be the trend lately, and I just can't get behind it.
Well, and like we said, or like, you know, we said in this discussion last week when you brought it up, like, I feel like it's not even something that anyone's consistent about, because that's all reference culture is. Like, all these jokes, all the shows that we like, all the t-shirts, the whole, you know, idea of any of the hipster stuff or being into like old stuff, you know, like how can someone love Voltron and then be down on nostalgia? And yeah, for a lot of them, they might be so young, they don't know that Voltron is nostalgia. But that's why Lauren Montgomery and Joaquin Dos Santos are doing such a great job, because they're my brother's age and your age, you know, because they grew up watching it. And they're like, and it's their nostalgia is fueling some of the greatest animated television being made today. So,
even vinyl records are now nostalgia.
Yeah.
The movie posters, you know, you got a guy like Paul Shipper who drew the Ready Player One poster, and
he does it in the Struzzini style, right?
Yes, it's like,
and he's great. He's just great in general, and has his own style as well when he's not emulating. Like, he's great. He's good.
And so there's nothing wrong with it. I think if it's positive, if it's you're using your you know your recollections to you know to beat down somebody who likes Last Jedi or this is crap. You know, I'm a better fan than you because I've been a fan forever. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, looking back on something that we've loved or something that reminds us of what we've loved. You know, I don't think that there's a bad side to nostalgia. You know, I'm not nostalgic, you know, for crime or for smog. You're nostalgic for the good things in life. You know, I think that's what people are confusing, you know?
Well, and I think too, like, I think that it's a legitimate criticism to say that that might not be enough for you as a critic to like, if that's the only merit that a story or a film has, is that all it does is touch the nostalgia notes on and offers nothing else. I think that's a legitimate criticism to take into account. Or if it's or even if it leans too heavy on it, if it's like, it's pretty shallow and really the only things I enjoy were the nostalgia, like, it's okay to say that, but it's also, again, all that stuff is real and legitimate, and I'm not going to discount, you know, people who really understand critics and the logic and mechanics of film. I'm not gonna like crap on critics. I almost cursed just and did the same one that you did, but it's only one allowed in network television. So I censored myself, Tim. But just I don't know. It feels like at the same time. It's not really that's not enough to discount someone else liking it, like, even if it is really flimsy. And the only merit, and I'm not saying that's true for Ready Player One, I haven't seen it yet, or even seen anyone make that claim beyond the advertisements, you know, beyond anyone who's actually seen it. I haven't heard them say that all it is nostalgia. But I've felt that way about a few, like, TV shows or movies or, you know, relaunch attempts or comic books. Like, I've been like, all this is, you know, remembering the past fondly. And if that's all it is, it's not enough for me, but it's not enough for me to judge someone else for liking it too. Like I can't say it's not good enough. Like, you need to like stuff that's more complex. Like, who's the judge of what people enjoy?
Well, and even then there's different levels of it. Like, what is it? Martin Scorsese is doing a crime film right now, an organized crime film with it's called The Irishman, I think. It's got Pacino, De Niro, Joe Pesci, and right there, that's fine. That just reminds me of all the good organized crime films that I've ever seen, crime films that I've ever seen by him. And so while it may not be anything like any other movie that he's done, just the nostalgia of, oh, I love Goodfellas, or, oh, I loved Heat, or, you know, I like De Niro, I like Pacino, oh, Pesci, I haven't seen him do anything good, you know, in an organized crime film in a long time. It's just, you know, nostalgia works on a lot of levels. I just, you know, I don't, we're in such a society right now, or especially with social media, that everybody just wants to crap on something, you know, I guess it gets you clicks or something, or I guess it gets you people talking, but at the same time, it's like, let's just, you know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You know, your job is not to convince me that what I love or what I like, you know, is horrible and that I'm a horrible person for liking it. You know, I mentioned it before. I had some guy, you know, block me because I like Battleship. So what?
That feels so weird. And, like, I don't imagine I'm going to enjoy Battleship earnestly. You know, if I'm going to like it, I'm going to like it like I like the movie Stealth, which is I'm laughing at it. you know what I mean? Like, it's failing for me on every level or whatever. I'm assuming, but at the same time, like, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. If you like it ironically or earnestly, who cares? Like,
yeah, I'm not killing you. I'm not hurting you.
Affecting my enjoyment, or affecting, like, I still know that you understand stories and things. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's no reason to sit in judgment of someone because they happen to enjoy something different. Because that doesn't mean they don't get it. Like, that's the thing that bugs me the most, is the people who are like, that claim specifically I've heard in common, in reference to the Superman Man of Steel and the Batman versus Superman stuff a lot. Like, oh, you just don't get it. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, what could I possibly be missing? Like, I know those characters, I know the franchises, I've seen the films, I know literature, I know what allusions they're making to, I know these references, I know different things they're doing in film. Like, as you pointed out, Tim, when people were like making the claim that Ryan was ripping off Man of Steel because of the rocks floating by her hand,
yeah,
he'd already done that in Looper.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Snyder was ripping him off. It's just a thing. They're like, hey, that guy's got anti-gravity powers. That's the only way flight works. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a bunch of rocks floating? Well, it's a cool effect, and that kid was telekinetic. So he made crap move with his mind. His made more sense, but, it's just silly. It's silly because just don't sit in judgment of it. I'm not gonna like those movies, because someone else likes it. But there's too much of like either judgment or trying to convince somebody else. When it's come up a bunch, with a lot of people I talk to all the time about, just The Force Awakens in general, and it's like people have been not allowed to be critical at all because then they're judged as being someone who's just a hater or who's not thinking about it or doesn't get it. But like we've talked about it before, and like, you can be critical of stuff you like. You can be critical of things and not be hating on it. Like, just don't give a crap what anyone else says. they're being offensive or jerks, like, let them feel the way they feel and express it. Like let someone make a comment,
I almost think it needs to be more, and this will never happen. But if I start a tweet, or something saying that I like, I didn't like Last Jedi, and somebody wants to join in and say, yeah, I didn't like Last Jedi either. And then we have a conversation. I don't need you coming in telling me why I'm wrong. And the same thing is that if we're all talking about, how much we love The Last Jedi, I don't need somebody coming in telling me it sucks.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if somebody poses a question, that's one thing. But
right.
If somebody makes a criticism, in a way that is like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like you can present both positive and negative opinions in a thought-provoking way or in a way where you want to create a dialogue. Or you could just be saying something nice and that doesn't necessitate being crapped on. And you're absolutely right. There's like there's a pervasive negativity. And I think that there's some danger in believing that you can only be positive, but the negativity is too much.
Pervasive negativity, yes. But I think overall on social media we have we think we need to butt in to everything.
It
may not even be like I'm crapping on The Last Jedi. It may be that I'm really positive about it and you want to come in and say, well, you want to be contrarian. Everybody wants to be contrarian, so to speak.
Yeah.
Let them be over here and say what they're going to say, and you read it. If you disagree, create your own thread. Create your own thread on why Last Jedi is great. Like-minded people will join your thread.
I have one tweet that I haven't tweeted yet, but I will eventually, about Rebels. It's not anything important by any means, but it's something that every time I've thought about it, it's in my drafts folder because I'm like, oh, that's going to get too much heat. It's about the Rebels finale, and it's actually kind of positive about the Rebels finale, but I'm just like, I'm going to get people who I don't even know giving me crap, probably, or which I just don't need.
Well, there, I look at it, and I've been critical of some of the gushers for that show, but at the same time, it's like, man, I kind of wish I could love something as much as they love this. and that's nothing against them. It's nothing against them, but it's like, my God, they are absolutely in love with the show. And I haven't felt that way about, I don't even – Star Wars is my thing. Obviously, it's all of our thing. We're on a podcast. But I haven't felt, I haven't felt like Star Wars. I haven't felt love for Star Wars like I did when I was a kid, I love Star Wars because that's what I've always loved. But, man, just to be the – I used to, type out these little notes on where my toys were in my room with – explanations on what the toy was. So I'd go and I'd look in the book on what an AT-AT was, and I'd say its location was underneath my bed, and this figure was over here, and this is what this figure is. And I just spent time on a friggin' typewriter typing these on index cards. Why? I don't know. I don't know why I did all that, but I was, that was my fandom, and I was into it. And
that's totally the way I did stuff too. Like a lot, mostly I think because there've been Star Wars stuff at that point was just kind of the beginning of the EU, and I wasn't as into it when I was old enough to get really into that sort of stuff. It was mostly comic book related, but I would do the same exact things. And like a lot of my love of drawing started when I was like 7 years old, tracing old Marvel handbook entries and the old Marvel RPG game entries with tracing paper, and just drawing the outlines of the characters and drawing my own characters in, and then just redrawing them over and over and over again from memory and looking at them and trying to like learn how to draw like John Byrne and like these different comic book artists. And that's, I was self-taught at drawing. It's something I still do all the time, and I ended up going to college for because I loved it so much. But that was very similar. It was just like going over these characters over and over again and reading about them and like reading from some of the same kind of books, like, you know, and doing it with Star Wars as well, just not quite as much because, I don't know, I topped off after making up a couple fan characters and drawing Luke and Han and Leia and everybody, you know, over and over and over again as a kid. And then without the new material, I was bored. But with the, you know, those handbooks and stuff, they had every obscure character in Marvel Comics. They had every, like, random person. It's like, this is Peter Parker's neighbor. And I'm like, ooh. I could gussy that guy up. I give him a pretty cool outfit, make him a superhero. it would not take much.
I mean, ultimately, I guess to wrap this part of the conversation up, I mean, for us, I just want people, tell me what you love. You know, and be so enthusiastic about what you love that it inspires me to look at it. You know, there's a lot of podcasts that I follow out there or listen to that are just unabashedly in love with cinema. And it's not highbrow, lowbrow. It's just, I like this movie. And here's why I like this movie. And this movie may be like, you know, not a top 10 movie, but here's why you should watch it. And it's like, man, I love stuff like that. Yeah. I don't want to read why I shouldn't like something. I want to read why should I like something and give it a chance. And I think that's what's really missing, I think, a lot with social media is, you know, we should spend more time telling each other what we love and what we think other people would like as well, rather than, you know, just crapping on everything.
You kind of sound like Rose.
Oh, God, no. Stop. Yeah,
you are, though. To relate it back to what you said a couple times, like I think you really distilled it in a weird way, like in your own discussion with a couple of different two different points. But you're talking about like one, missing that feeling when you were a kid, and then nostalgia in general, you know, before. I feel like those things are really connected. You know, that's the appeal of nostalgia is that, and it doesn't last like for the entire movie. It's those little moments, like when you saw the throwing star thing from Krull, which again I won't spoil anyone. that might spoil it for like Drew for a couple people, like a certain age range.
No, but listeners. like if I there was one music cue I was listening to and I was like, oh my God, no! are you kidding? It's so very specific that I was like, okay,
it can't possibly be good.
You're joking, right?
But like, it's the same thing. I was listening to a rerun like from like 4 years ago, maybe now at this point, from a podcast from an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, where it was a live show from the LA Riot podcast festival. And it was one of the last shows that Harris Whittles did with them live, I think. He did a couple more episodes before he ended up tragically taking his own life, but he was one of my favorite comedians and comedic writers, and he was my age. And at one point, one of the other guests on this podcast references Willow Smith. They're talking about Will Smith, and she mentions Willow, and he like deadpan is like, oh, we're talking about Willow. Well, I love Mad Mardigan, and he just like immediately makes a connection to the movie Willow, and like it, like I cried laughing while like walking down the street today getting lunch, like in just in is that instant, that one moment. Like it was just pure nostalgia. It's just remembering that movie when I was a kid, and it just made me laugh so hard. It just thinking like that's how he doesn't even give a crap about who Willow Smith is. It's like he's the perfect kind of nerd and my age. It's just like he just does not. Willow will always be Warwick Davis to him, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like again, I think there is value to nostalgia. It's been crapped on a lot right now, and I don't think it should be the only thing in anything. But it's not a bad thing by itself. It can be really nice.
Well said. Sorry, Tim.
No,
I had to say it this episode.
Well, no, because I was gonna like make a statement on it, but I can't follow up that. Like that had summed it up. I guess I'm done.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, Tim.
No, you know you didn't.
Yeah.
I appreciate Tim's subtle dig / compliment.
No, it's not a dig at all. It's just me saying like there's I can't follow that up. Like that had it all.
Well, I appreciate that.
So
yeah.
What I'm gonna do is stop the episode, I guess.
You, I gotta say, Tim, you have mastered
the segue.
Yeah, the conclusion of an episode. Yeah. It's like, click. What was the last thing? I could hang up at any time.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
it the week before?
No, I think it was last week.
Maybe both.
Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah. So. Yep, that's all. Okay, I'm gonna end it. So bye, everybody.
Hey, are we all right? No, it's time to go. I keep talking about how we need to make these episodes shorter so people have more podcasts to listen to in their life, and here we go, hour and a half or so again.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you end it, Tim?
No, I am now. Bye.